We're very thankful this morning for each one that's able to be out. And I concur it is a blessing to fellowship with people that have a heart and desire to serve the Lord. I don't think there's any better place to come and just enjoy being together. Hayride, that's wonderful. Singing together, playing together, worshiping the Lord together. I don't know of a better place to be than with God's people. So I trust the Lord will bless us in the rest of this service as we conclude the services for this weekend. This week, some of you, if you listen to the news or read the news, I read an article, might have heard it on the news, believe it was an article I read about a gift that was given to President Trump and his entourage when he was in office, and he was over in Saudi Arabia, if I'm not mistaken, and the royal Saudi family gave them gifts of cheetah and tiger robes. Did anybody read that story? They gave them these gifts, and one of the reasons it was in the news was because it was not given over to the government to catalog until the day Trump left office. So they're making an issue of all of that. But what happened is, when it was turned over to the government, they took these very expensive, luxurious robes, tiger and cheetah, and they began to run some tests on them because they were afraid that they had violated the wildlife standard, like this endangered species. So they should have never accepted the gift to start with. And so, because it was, endangered species, so they said they shouldn't have even accepted it. But upon further investigation, this is what they found out. They found out that those robes were not real. They were not genuine. They were fakes. And this was a gift, and I don't know who would be, if I were the Saudis, I'd be pretty humiliated and embarrassed. They might not have known either. It might have been who they purchased them from. They were snookered a little bit. But the reality is, there was a gift given to them that was purportedly something of great value. And they come to find out these robes were, this fur was from just other animals, and it had been dyed in a pattern to appear as if they were from tigers and cheetahs. Have a question for you this morning. What kind of experience do you have with God? You see, we live in a world, and I know many people are walking away from even the name Christianity, but there are a lot of people that are professing to be Christians this morning. But I wonder personally, as we will examine our own lives today, what kind of experience do we have? Because if we're not careful, there are many people in our world today that have an experience that on the surface, you would think they're a Christian. They profess to be a Christian. They go to church services. They'll testify. They'll sing. They'll say, "Yes, I love God." But in reality, it's fake. In reality, it's not a real experience with Jesus Christ. And I want us to know this morning, I'm glad you're all here, but it is not enough to get you to heaven. It is not enough that we come here and we've enjoyed fellowship with God's people, but your experience is not going to get me to heaven. The contact that you have with God is not going to be enough to get me through my temptations and the difficulties I face in life. I need to have a genuine, personal, real experience with God for myself. If your experience is based upon your mom and dad, young people, you won't make it. You want me to say that again? If you are living your life based on some traditions and good things your parents have taught you, it's not enough to get you to heaven. On the surface, you may fit into the group. On the surface, it may look like you're doing real good. But each one of us individually know what our experience is with God this morning. The scripture over in 2 Timothy, in the 3rd chapter, in the 1st verse, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Dangerous times. Perilous times will come. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. You know, these are signs of the time we're living in. But there's another part of this. Verse 4, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. In other words, they may have some affinity with God. You know, there is a security this morning for those of you that have been raised knowing truth.
It's true.
There is a measure of security that comes from, I know what's right, and I'm around God's people, and there's a measure of security there. But I want you to know, if you love things of this world more than you love God, you're not going to make it. There's going to come a time that the influences and the temptations of the world are going to knock you off your feet, and you won't make it. With the pressures that we are in society today, we need to get personal contact with God and have an experience that is personal.
Amen.
But what kind of experience do you have this morning? Well, he went on to say then, further, he said, having a form of godliness. You know what a form is? It's just like those cheetah robes. It looks like godliness. It acts like godliness. It talks like godliness. But inside, it's not there. It's a form of godliness. Come to camp meeting and I'll dress a certain way. I'll act a certain way. I'll testify a certain way. But when I go home, I'm a different person. You know what that's called? Some people might call it respect. And it is good to be respectful around God's people. Don't misunderstand me. But if I am trying to purport myself to be something I'm not through the week, something's missing. The Lord wants us to be genuine this morning. In other words, that we are what we are, who we say we are. And if we're Christians, we need to act like it and live like it and be like it every single day. But we're living in a time there are too many that have a form of godliness. And it looks valuable. And it can be prized to us. I don't want to lose my faith. But it's a form of godliness. There is a danger, and I have been greatly blessed. I was raised, like many of you young people, hearing and knowing a lot of truth, okay? I came to camp meeting just like many of you go to camp meetings. But I want to tell you, that's a blessing that many people don't have. But there's a danger to that. You know what the danger is? That we will just kind of acclimate to the group.
Yes.
We'll kind of fit in and we have this lifestyle and we've got these traditions. And there's nothing wrong with good traditions. I'm thankful for good godly standards. But I want to tell you, your good godly standards won't stand you when you're tempted. They won't give you power when you're tempted unless you have something personal with God. And there is a danger that we can grow up knowing the doctrines, knowing truth, and never coming to the place that we have had a genuine born-again experience with God. Have you been born again this morning? Can you say, I am saved from my sin, I met the Lord, and there was a change in my life? Do you know that it's not enough to be raised knowing it? Because there is the form of godliness. But do we have the power this morning? Do we have the goods on hand that we can testify, as was said and we sung about, I know in whom my faith is fixed. It's not, well, I know what the church teaches. I know what mom and dad said. No, I know personally in whom my faith is fixed. I know my name is written in heaven because it's personal. It's real. It's genuine. Well, coming into many cities, you will pass a sign that says, attend the church of your choice. Have you all seen that? There's a whole list of options. And they'll be down by the Kiwanis Club or the Lions Club or whoever puts those signs up. I have a question. How many ways is there to get to heaven? How many?
One.
There's one. How many different churches can you attend? Thousands. Pick your doctrine and you can find someone that agrees with you. Until you all disagree, you can have two different fellowships. There is one way to get to heaven. And when the scripture says having a form of godliness, people are following their own ways. People are putting too much credibility in what I think. Do you know, frankly, it doesn't matter what you think this morning.
That's right.
And you know what? What I think is not going to lead you to heaven either. It's not an issue of what I think. It's an issue of what is, which means we need to raise ourselves to a higher standard in the Word of God than just, this is just what I think. It means we need to come to a place that it's not just about my church now. It's, Lord, I want something personal with you, that I'm not going to change the church to fit me, but I'm going to change me to fit what the Word of God says.
Amen.
So the reason I live like I live, it's not, well, my church says. I'm glad your church says, but it's not going to be enough to get you to heaven. What do you have on hand this morning? What kind of experience do we have? Is it real? Is it genuine? Is it living? Is it personal? Is it real or imitation? I remember hearing about someone. It was a young person, but they're grown up now. A number of years ago, someone told me, said, yeah, they've got a girlfriend at school, and they have a girlfriend at Monarch, and they've got a girlfriend at home. I thought, huh, it just kind of depends on where they're at. Not really someone I would recommend to the young ladies. Because there was a divided heart. It wasn't genuine. You know, if you've got one right here, then what about the one over there?
Yeah.
I mean, take your pick, but... People are doing that with God. People are doing that with God. When it fits my circumstances, I'm all holy and righteous on the outside. But it's fake. It's not real. What is real is what wells up from the heart. Why do I act this way? Because I love God. Why don't you go there? It's not because I can't. Do you know if you are living based on what the church teaches, you are in bondage this morning. If it is not from your heart. You're miserable, and you will be all that you'll be arguing people, and I can do this and still be saying, do what you want to do. But if you want to make heaven, it's about getting contact with God for yourself and getting some personal standards and convictions with God that now the reason I live like I do is because I have hold of Jesus Christ. He made a change in me, and if I see that I'm not pleasing Him, and I see that when I go do that, I just don't feel close to the Lord. I want to lay that thing aside. And then I start having communion with someone else that's laid it aside. And you say, oh, you all are just starting your own little thing. You don't have to fit in with me or anybody else. But get hold of God for yourself. And we want to lay aside the imitation. And we want to have something genuine this morning. It's going to be the only thing that's going to work to get us to heaven. Genuine.
That's right.
Attend the church of your choice. It's not going to work.
Right.
There is one way this morning. And you can wrestle about what way is right and what the saints teach and what the church down the road says. Get back in the Word of God.
Yes.
I'm not afraid to point you to the Word of God. Anything that we cannot base on the Word of God, it's a tradition and it might be good. But when you base it on the Word of God, I'm doing it because God wants me to do it.
Yeah.
I may not always understand it. But if that's what God wants, then Lord, I want to get as close to you as I can because I need power from God.
Amen.
What kind of experience do you have this morning? Is it real? You have, you young folks, you older folks, you middle-aged, you parents, do you have something real this morning? Or have you been kind of going along on the coattails of the group? Kind of moving on with what everybody's doing around you. I will say, when you get something that's real this morning, it will start to take away some of the doubts that you have. It'll start to eradicate some of the questions you have. Because now, it's from my heart that, oh Lord, I love you and I want to please you.
Amen.
And when I'm by myself, I'm still going to be faithful to my Lord because now it's personal.
Amen.
Now it's personal, and then we can come together and we can fellowship as one because we have a common heart and a common desire to please God. Well, people said having a form of godliness, profession without possession. So what do you possess this morning? Is that fair? You don't have to answer to me or anybody else, but in your own life, do you possess it? Or is it just a profession? I'll tell you, it's so easy. I've been places, and it's easier to talk about other countries than the U.S., isn't it? It's here in the U.S. too. But I've been places that can talk the talk. And they can pray your socks off. If you'll allow that me to say, use that expression. They can pray in a way it's like, whoa, powerful, strong, charismatic, moving in the Spirit. And when they're done praying, they'll go back to their sin. They'll go back to their lying. They'll go back to their cheating. They'll go back to doing what they want. But to listen to them pray, you think, wow, I can't pray like that.
Right.
See, on the outside, it looked good. It looked good, but it wasn't genuine. It was a form of godliness. Profession without possession. That's what the Pharisees had. Jesus said, you look good on the outside. But inside, what did they have? They were full of what? Dead men's bones. Something that's not living. You know, we can dress up. We can look pretty good, can't we? But you know, it's not going to get us to heaven by itself. We need to start taking care of what's inside, saints. And when we take care of what's inside, it's going to start coming out in the outward man. It's going to start coming out in our attitudes. It's going to start coming out in the daily decisions that we make. Because, Lord, I want to please you with my heart. I want to please you with my life. I don't want an imitation experience this morning. I don't want something that's fake. I want it when I'm tested. I want the genuine something that works. Jesus said it this way. He said, if any man will come after me, let him do what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If you're not denying yourself and you're not taking up your cross, your experience isn't real.
It's true.
Is that too hard? It's true. You said, well, yeah, out in the world, there sure are people doing that. Let's get a little closer to home, folks. We can be raised with lots of good stuff. But if we have not come to a place of personal consecration, that we placed ourselves on the altar and said, Lord, whatever you want of my life, I'm yours. We are in danger of having an imitation experience. And then people wonder, why isn't this working? You know, I'm trying to do what the saints teach and it's not working. Quit trying to do what the saints teach and get an experience with God, and then the holiness out of the heart will start coming. You see, we get this backwards sometimes. Let's just get everybody measured up on the outside. If the inside is not right with God, the outside's not going to make a difference. You say that everybody accepts me now. What good is that? When you get to heaven, we're going to stand before God alone. And I want to have something genuine with God. It doesn't mean I can go live how I want to live. It doesn't mean I can go do whatever I want and have this independent attitude. And well, God knows my heart. If it is in the heart, people are going to start seeing the evidence. And when we are tested, may it be that they say that person's genuine. That's not just fake. That's more than just a profession. They've got hold of something. Faith without works. Talking about something that's imitation. It's not genuine. Faith without works is what? It's dead. Do we still believe that? Well, I've got faith and God knows my heart. If you go down that road philosophically and theologically alone, you're going to fall off a cliff. Well, God knows my heart. He does. So what's the evidence of it? Jesus said, by their fruit, ye shall what? Ye shall know them. Ye shall know them by their fruit. If someone loves God, you're going to start seeing the evidence. Young folks, people are going to start seeing the evidence in your attitude. Your parents will stop seeing the rebellion in your heart. They're going to stop hearing the disrespect. In the carnality, husbands and wives, your spouse will start seeing the love and the grace and the forgiveness. Why? Because I want to please God. Because I want to please God. I want something genuine. Well, if we don't have works, what good is our faith? So, well, I've got the doctrines right. But the doctrines don't bring life. It is the Spirit that brings life, isn't it? It's the doctrines that give structure. It's the doctrines of the Word of God that kind of give that shell. But it's the Spirit of God that puts the burn in your heart. It's the Spirit of God. It's that fire inside of you that motivates you and moves you to do what God wants you to do. So how are our works? What's the fruit that's coming out this morning? So, is it genuine? What kind of experience do we have? A lot of people say, yes, I'm saved. And they're sitting there living in sin, carnality in their life, in the way they talk, in the way they act. They're watching things that are just impure. And they're saying, oh, I love the Lord. And yet they're watching things of adultery, fornication, all this stuff. What are we feeding when we do that? Say, well, the church says I can't watch that. You watch what you obey your parents, young folks and children. But I want to tell you something. You're going to get to that place that you will be on your own, make your own decisions. And what your parents taught you is not going to be good enough unless you get hold of God for yourself. And if I'm saved and my heart is to please a holy God, how can I listen to that and watch that and feed that in my life when I know that's not here? Because it's going to have an influence on us. I'm tired. Is it okay for a preacher to be tired of hearing people talking about you all are just, you're just traditions and you're just conforming one to another? Just forget it all then. You get hold of God for yourself, and I'll tell you what, before too long, we're not going to be too far apart. But the reason isn't because I'm just trying to fit in with you. The reason is I'm trying to get as close to the cross as I can. Yeah. And when we get as close to the cross as we can, we're going to find that all of a sudden we're making similar decisions that go beyond the flesh. We're making decisions based on the cross. We're making decisions based on, Lord, I want to please you. I don't want a fake experience. I want something that's real, and I want something that's living. Just the last few days, just driving back and forth, you know, I passed quite a few animals. I drove over quite a few. And they were real. But they were dead. You know what it means when something is dead? It means it used to have life. It means one time there was energy. There was mobility. There was thought, there was action, and now they're dead. You say, but it's real. It's real. Yeah, it was a real fake. Those robes that were given to the Trump administration, they were real, but they were real fakes. They were imitation. It wasn't genuine. So I want a real experience. I want a genuine experience, but I do not want a genuine dead experience. I want a genuine living experience. How long has it been since you felt the burn inside? How long has it been when these songs were sung that you genuinely not... Well, I'll put my hand up. I think there's about two others that are, so I'll be the third. You know what I'm talking about? Lord, help us! It's because when we sing these songs and the Word of God is going forth and there's something inside that's burning, it's like, yes, Lord, and if I'm not there, I want to get there. There's something inside that through the week when the Spirit of the Lord comes down and begins to bless us and the praise comes out, the tears flow. Why? Because there's something inside that you didn't give me and you can't take away from me. I don't want to be a dead carcass on the road and say, well, Brother Michael, that he was a has-been. He used to have life. I don't know what happened. I said, but I'm real. Yeah, I'm really dead. I don't want to be in that place. It happens to people spiritually. It happens to families that one time had life, and today they are dead. It happens to congregations. We come from different areas. There is a danger in your congregation, because it's the world we live in, of you all becoming dead. And you can say we didn't change our doctrines, we didn't change the way we're living, and yet where is the life? Where the Spirit of God is, there is life. There is fire. There is a desire to please God. Sometimes it's that quiet burning fire. And sometimes it's that consumes. It comes in all different ways. I do not want to be part of a congregation. I do not want to be part of a group of people that are has-beens. I don't want to be one part of the people that people go by and they say, yeah, it's real. It's really dead. They used to have life. What happened? The world crept in. Yes. People got careless. They began to feed things that weren't of God. I want to be part of a group I want to be part of a body of people that still have their eyes on Jesus, willing to sell out and say, Lord, whatever you want, we'll do. I want the fire to burn, but it doesn't. You know, it starts with us individually. I can't do anything about anybody else. It starts right in here, Lord, help me. I want it genuine, I want it real, and I want a living experience. So what kind of experience do you have this morning? You know, Jesus came to give us life. Where there is death, Jesus came to resurrect, and He came to renew, He came to restore. If one time you could say, yeah, I really had life, but the Lord just hasn't been talking to me, and I haven't had that power like I used to have. You know, Jesus wants to renew that this morning. There's a place that Jesus wants to make alive what is dead this morning. And maybe if you've been living a life of hypocrisy, the Lord can give you the real thing. He can give you the real thing this morning. And I thank God for that. Then, think about the church in Revelation 3:1, the church at Sardis. Jesus said, the Spirit said, I know thy works. He said, but you have a name that thou livest, and you're dead. You've got the doctrine. It's not enough. It's about the heart now. See, the doctrines are important. People that say, oh, doctrines divide people, lame aside. Read the Bible. Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You start rejecting the doctrines of the Bible, you will be rejecting Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So let's not go down that road. Well, doctrines divide all these churches. Let's just follow Jesus. Follow Jesus and you're going to follow His words.
Right.
Follow Jesus and you're going to follow what the Bible teaches. But it became flesh and dwelt among us. But we find there was a group of people that one time were on fire. They were one time alive. And what happened? They got lukewarm. They started getting cold in their experience with God. And Jesus told them, He said, you're dead. Laodiceans were lukewarm. And they said they were rich and increased with goods. And the Spirit said, you're naked and poor and wretched and blind. I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. What kind of experience do you have this morning? Is it real? Is it real? Is it living? Is it moving? Tradition without conviction. You know, we need personal convictions with God. We need to come to places in our life, and I want you young folks to know it doesn't happen overnight, all right? So don't be discouraged. It doesn't happen overnight. But there are questions that maybe you have. Do not allow the world to answer those questions.
Amen.
You don't need to Google it. You don't need to go to a place that, well, and I'm just looking and talking to people that have clearly strayed from the cross. Why would you ask them for spiritual counsel?
That's right.
Is that a fair question? May I be blunt?
Yes.
Too many of you are going to counsel in the wrong places. I ask if I could be blunt. Why are we turning to the world to answer our spiritual questions? We need to get in the Word of God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do?
Yes.
And many times we know already, we're just looking for someone to back up or support us and make us feel good about making decisions we know God doesn't want to. So then pretty soon I can say, well, Brian, I talked to Brother Tom and he agreed with me and I talked to Brother Randy and you know what, yeah, I'm doing okay, I'm still saved. What does their opinion have to do with it? What does the Word of God say? Is it drawing me closer to God? Or is there something inside I'm uncomfortable with and I know that I'm not real easy in my spirit, I'm not at peace with it, and yet I don't want to change. The Lord wants us to come and say, Lord, I'm placing myself on the altar. Lord, give me Holy Ghost-filled convictions.
Yes.
I don't want my convictions to be formed on the way of the world because they're getting further and further away from God. And as the world goes downward, you know what the difference between us and the world? It's going to be greater.
Yes.
And pretty soon we're always just a little bit above the world. Well, I don't dress and act and go to the places the world does. But as they go down, we're just staying the same distance from them. You know what that makes us? It makes us compromised.
Yeah.
Because as the world goes down, there's going to be a greater distance between the way we live and the way the world's living. I want something genuine, because this is what it's going to take to make it to heaven. A true born-again experience. An experience that we have placed ourselves on the altar and given ourselves fully into the control of Jesus Christ. Doctrine without spirit brings death. You know, something that's fake doesn't work. They have guns that they look like real guns, but if you pull the trigger, nothing happens. You know, that's what some kind of people's experience with God is. It's just fake. You know, children have those little, I guess they still make them, those toy lawnmowers. They can push them over this grass all day long, and you know what? It's not going to cut a thing. And they're out there enjoying, I'm mowing the yard. I just wonder how many of us, I'm going to church, I'm serving the Lord, day after day, week after week, and nothing's changing. Because it's not real. It's not genuine. There's no life there. Well, Lord, help us to get a genuine experience. Lord, help us to have a living experience. And as we come to a conclusion, I want it to be personal. I want a real, living, personal experience. You remember over in Matthew 16, verse 13, Jesus came to his disciples and he said, "Who do men say that I am?"
Yes.
Who do men say that I am? This altar's open. If the Lord's talking to your heart, just come on. Who do men say that I am? He said, "Well, you're John the Baptist, and some say you're Isaiah the prophet." And Jesus turned to him and said, "But who do you say that I am?" He said, "Well, Mom and Dad said no. It's Mom and Dad. We're done with that now for the purpose this morning. That's not going to carry me through the judgment." Well, but the church says, put the church on the altar. Who do you say that God is? Who is God in your life? When you are being tempted, who is God to you? When you are watching and looking at things on your phone, who is God to you? When you are listening to things, who is God to you? When you go shopping, who is God to you? I want something real. I want it genuine, and I want it to work, because if it's real and it's genuine and it's living, it will work. But there are too many right among the saints that do not think the grace of God is working. It's the problem is not the grace of God. The problem is there's not enough people that are opening up their hearts saying, "Lord, whatever you want me to do." If you will open up your heart to God, you will find power over your temptations. You will find that joy in serving the Lord.
Yes, amen.
But as we close this morning, understand this. There is a place that if you're just doing it again, and I think some of you know what I'm talking about, if you're doing it because of the group, you're in bondage. I agree with you. It's horrible. Why would I want to do this? I don't want to live that way. I mean, Mom and Dad make you dress that way. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want to do that. There's something better this morning. There is an experience with God that you can actually enjoy serving the Lord. You can actually enjoy it because it's real now. And it's personal. Because the Lord met me and He made a change in my life. And I look forward. I love serving the Lord. You know, there's nothing I enjoy more. The greatest pleasure I get out of life is serving the Lord.
Yes.
More than my family, more than the fellowship we have, I get the greatest joy being in the presence of God.
Yes.
I do not want to lose that.
Yes.
I want it real. I want it living, and I want it personal.
Yes.
So who do you say the Lord is this morning? I know it covered a wide array of things this morning. If the Lord's talking to your heart and you want to draw closer to the Lord, "Lord, I've been struggling here. I want you to reveal yourself this. I want it more personal, Lord." The Lord wants to meet with you this morning. If you will open up your heart, you will find a God of love and care and forgiveness, that He's a God that can give you grace, and He can restore the joy in serving God.
Amen.
Amen.